my goodness, I bet he's listening. Bring me sunshine.
Bring me love. Bring me fire. Bring me sunshine. Bring me love.
The Soho Hobo, who is Tim Arnold, going to be joined by Clayton Littlewood, who wrote Dirty White Boy. So I'm really looking forward to having the two of them in here talking about characters that have disappeared from Soho. And I don't know if any of you read... Well, I read the piece in The Telegraph, actually, about Soho Pam, a very well-known figure who some described as the best-dressed, well-off beggar in Soho. I don't think she'd like to have been described as a beggar, but that was one description that I saw on a blog, actually. But she was a real character. There are many more, and I've interviewed many. I know many, actually, characters from Soho, but they're disappearing. I mean, more and more of the... Well, Clayton can talk about this. More and more of the retail outlets are being replaced by franchises, which is not a good thing. Fewer and fewer people are living there. The school is still there, which is fantastic. What a wonderful education to go to school in Soho. Wouldn't you have loved that? Anyway, we are going to be talking about the characters of Soho, past and present, but also the characters in your manner. You know, I remember when I used to do the breakfast show for the BBC in Brighton, I would talk a lot about how, as I aged, I could see the characters ageing. So, you know, the guy that would always sit outside Waitrose with his dog, I saw him go grey. I honestly did see he's still there, and he saw me go grey as well. And the man that ran up and down Devil's Dyke in a balaclava with like a ton of bricks on his back, he's still there as well. All these characters, all these people. There was a girl that... used to dance on the beach and do statues and sing to herself, and they were wonderful. And cities and towns and communities are made up of characters, but I think there are fewer. And what do you put that down to? And who were the characters that you grew up with? Why were they characters? You know, why were they the ones that fascinated you in your community? And are they still there? So that's what we're going to be talking about. Then I'm really pleased to say I saw him on Breakfast News actually this morning on television. Tunde is going to be here, and I am really looking forward to this because why am I going down this route? I don't know why I'm saying this. Very weird. I don't get a lot of fan mail because people don't seem to send Basildon Bond and handwritten letters anymore, but there was one in my pigeonhole as I went out just before the show, and I opened it, and it's just a token for lingerie. I'm going to read nothing into it. It's in my handbag, and I will be buying possibly some opaque tights. So whoever sent that, they didn't even... That is truly altruistic. There wasn't even an address, a name or anything. So thank you. I could always do with more lingerie. Thank you. That was my chair, by the way. Oh, gosh, that's my chair again. Now, as I was saying, on Wednesday night, we were running through Soho, which was absolutely hysterical, wasn't it, Dan? We were coming back from the Ivy. Oh, gosh, that's a Freudian slip. And I... I have never been there before. They once wouldn't let me in when I had friends at table six, and they went, well, if you've not, you know, got a seat, you can't come in. So I enjoyed my first time at the Ivy. I had fish cakes. It was fantastic. But as we came running back, Dan and I and Anna Webb, we were following... oh, golly, I'm trying to think who... I don't know where... Someone came out of Gaydar, anyway, in full drag, heels that were about 8 inches high, running from one club to another. Obviously, a drag act doing, you know, the whole, like, three clubs in one night. And I said to Dan, this is why I'll never leave London, because this is just fantastic. But it's like a tiny little bit now, the only little bit left that is naturally eccentric. The rest is manufactured. And I think it was George Orwell that said, the moment you have to start paying people to perform in the streets, a city has lost its soul. Covent Garden, if you're listening. Right, anyway, so I want to know, where have all the characters gone in Soho? And who were they? And then I read this fantastic piece in The Telegraph about Soho Pam, who I'd never, ever met, never seen, and yet I've hung around Soho quite a lot over the years. And I was intrigued by her, and I thought, someone who will know is a guy who's written a lot about Soho, Clayton Littlewood, who had a shop in Soho. who joins me this afternoon. But also then someone else said, you have got to talk to Tim Arnold because he knows almost as much about Soho as Clayton. And so we arranged for Tim to come in. So they're both here and I have never met Tim before. So first of all, welcome, Clayton.
Thank you very much.
Welcome, Tim.
Thank you, Jo.
And you're known as a Soho hobo, aren't you?
I am, is that, yes.
Which doesn't do you credit because I'm just talking to Tim here, everybody. You are so dapper in cravat, beautiful, like, Crombie coat. You look fantastic. Where
Thank
did Soho
you.
Hobo come from, then?
I think I had an email address which used the name Soho Hobo for a long time, and I think it really just came from being in the area for about 18 years and doing so many different jobs whilst writing music. I had been a chef, a doorman, working for Maltese Mafia, and that's essentially what a hobo is. You wander and work without
yes.
a fixed abode.
Duck and dive, duck
yeah,
and dive.
Yeah, but I was always in Soho.
Right.
I've lived in, I think I'm on my eighth flat in Soho.
Are
now.
You still in Soho?
Yeah, yeah, I live in Frith Street opposite yeah. Ronnie Scott's.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, gosh, it's very near Bar Italia.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get on to that in a moment. So you two know each other. Clayton Littlewood, welcome.
Thank you very much. We met outside here. I was waiting to go in and someone said, Clay, I went, Tim, what are you doing here? And then we worked out we're on the same show.
Yes.
And
Even though we're colour coordinated, it wasn't planned.
I know, very nice, actually.
Yeah, we dressed up for radio. Now, we were talking, we met in 2006 on MySpace. And I was just saying then, that period when I was living there was one of the most creative periods for me because I met so many singers and writers and actors. And I was saying Tim was the first one I met because he just recorded this album in the Colony called Secrets of Soho. And I was like, oh, my God, I've met a singer and they've recorded across the road. And, yeah, we were just talking. You yeah. kind of set me off on this whole buzz about artistic
yeah,
Soho.
Yeah, so I've done three albums about Soho and that was the first one that I did an album launch in the old Raymond Review Bar. That's now the Box.
Yeah, yeah.
And Clayton came to that one.
And you've also, I mean, you've actually recorded duets with quite a few famous people.
On the next album.
Yeah,
yes.
On the next album, which we'll talk about in a minute. And also your mum was Polly Perkins. Is it Polly Perkins?
She still is.
I'm so sorry, Polly, if you're listening. Your mum is Polly Perkins, who was a windmill girl.
She was one of the, yeah, she's the youngest ever nude at the windmill theatre.
No! Yeah. Gosh, there's so much to talk about. Right, first of all, Clayton.
Yes.
Clayton, you had a shop. So yeah. So Tim's worked as an artist, well, he's worked for Ducked and Dived in many careers, as you have, really.
Yes, yeah.
But you had a shop in, was it Dean Street?
On the corner of Old Compton Street and Dean Street. And actually, Tim just reminded me, he said, my favourite pair of jeans are the ones I bought from your shop for £120 costume national. You really loved them, didn't you? And you still wear them, although your mum wanted to throw them in the bin.
Yeah, she did.
I love this. I never want you two to leave the studio. This is fantastic conversation. Because the shop's no longer there, is it?
No, it was called Dirty White Boy. It was a menswear clothes shop that I had with my partner, Jorge, just below a popular brothel that I'm sure Tim knows, but not for the reasons that you think he probably knows.
I know of it. I do know of it.
Yes. And you were living around the corner, weren't you? Berwick Street.
I was living on the corner of Brewer and Wardle Street
yeah,
at that time.
So that's
yeah.
how we got to know each other.
The brothel, I mean, and this is all in your book because it flooded, didn't it? So and
yes.
so a lot of your stock, a lot of the girls were having showers and it flooded over all the menswear.
Yeah, they were taking a lot of showers upstairs, obviously. and so I had to go up there a few times and complain about, and, you know, when I walked in there, I saw quite a few sights. But the police, you know, I've told this story before, the police tried to close them down. I was just telling Tim about the time I had to go to Horse Ferry Road Magistrates Court and help the girls keep the brothel. So there was me in there and 40
Ronnie,
girls.
Ronnie Sullivan's
place.
Yeah,
let's not talk about that. So they were in court, weren't we? Me and Jorge and all these girls and the vicar from St. Anne's who got asked to leave.
See, this is these stories, and it's like, golly, I'm almost in Mopan, if you think Tales from the City. And I always, when I read that, I always thought there is no equivalent. There certainly is no equivalent. Well, there is really Soho, the Tales of Soho, which can go on. And listening to you two, it puts faith, well, hopefully, the fact that there are a lot of these characters still there, because, I see fewer and fewer now. I see people like me actually becoming voyeurs of Soho, which you as a resident, Tim, must hate, don't you? That, you know, we all sit there watching.
No, but not at all, because I think everybody that knows Soho has their own Soho, you know. So there's gay Soho, there's morning Soho, which is completely different to an after midnight Soho. There's the Soho of the theatre goer. You know, then there's the Soho that belongs to the community, which is a completely different Soho to the people that visit it. So, you know, it never bothers me how people think about the area, as long as they do.
Yes, and I know that when, I've talked about this a lot on the show, when Paul Raymond died, I mean, a lot of the place, a lot of that estate is owned by his daughter now. Granddaughter, is it?
His granddaughter, Fawn, yeah. She's Fawn. A friend of mine, yeah.
Well, what a great name, Fawn. Oh, what a lovely name. I've never known anyone else called Fawn, actually. But, you know, it depends on her as to how much that character is going to remain. Because the moment someone starts opening Starbucks and, well, there is a Nero's there, but you've got to really control it, haven't you? Because it could just go.
I said to Clay before we came in to see you that I had a meeting with Fawn's dad, who runs Soho Estates, and they really are in charge of shaping the future of the area. And I'm quite confident that they will retain the character that it's known for. And that's mainly because the architecture of the place is designed for small businesses. If you look at the actual buildings in Soho, you're not going to get a Gap store in there. You're not going to suddenly find a slightly smaller version of Nike Town on Wardour Street. You can't, because of the way it was set up from the beginning. And I know that Soho Estates are really championing everything that we, you know, people like us love about Soho. So I actually feel quite positive about it. I do think you have to keep an eye on the chains.
Yes.
Well, there's Hotel Chocolat in there now, isn't there?
Yeah.
Costa and Cafe Nero and Leon.
But also, you know, Berwick, that bit of market, I call it the only left red light area, you know, the alley.
Peter Street, because they knocked all the brothels down there, didn't they?
Yes.
Made a big shops there.
So and opposite the little supermarket, there's some sort of Scandinavian stripped pine shop, which just looks so inappropriate, you know, but I don't know, it must be surviving, I suppose, but it's so manufactured. The rest of it has just evolved. And
there's one thing that a lot of people say, that's always changing, it's changing all the time. And it's one of the things that I covered a lot on this new album. And although it does change, I do think it stays the same. And in fact, Gary Kemp, who's become a friend of mine that I've done a song with on the album, he said to me, well, it doesn't so much change, it evolves. It evolves all the time, and it does become something that one generation will begin to miss, Dare Soho. But I do think that a new generation always takes it on. I mean, it goes back a long time, and if you go through the sort of 50s and the jazz Soho, Ronnie Scott's Soho, that was one type of Soho. It has gone, but there's a lot of people that are still championing that kind of Soho, and I think that will continue. So I don't think it's not a place that's about to disappear.
No, but and you would know, if anyone would. You're there, you can see it. You know,
I'm there every morning, every
exactly.
night.
I suppose there's a few like of what we think of institutions though that have kind of gone. The Colony was a big feature of, you know, 50s, 60s Soho, and that's kind of gone. I heard the other day that the Lorelei, or what was called the Mermaid, has just closed down. Cafe M, all these little, lovely little places
very
that
sad
you...
About
but
the
then
that
coupled
go.
With that, there's all these big characters that have seemed to have just gone fairly recently. So it does feel like it's going through a bit of a shift, doesn't it?
We are going to play a track, looking at the past characters, actually, and I listened to this track 9 on here, of Soho Heroes, and many of whom hung around what I call the French pub. I don't know if it's still called
the French house.
Where I was severely told off for getting my mobile phone out. I really was. It was, they were ruthless in there. But just very quickly, before we play this track, just to, because the whole reason I wanted to talk about this was down to Soho Pam, really, who I'd never... Did either of you know her?
Yeah, I knew Pam very well. I wrote about her quite a lot. So I always felt a bit indebted to her, because she always gave such good stories, you know, for me. And it was her funeral a couple of weeks ago, and it was really surprising at the amount of love. You know, there was a obituary in the Telegraph, in the Guardian, you know, in all the local papers, and everyone was talking about it. And that, I think, sums up the beauty of Soho. It's not just about celebrity faces. She was as much a name in that area as anybody else. And, you know, she was a homeless beggar, but everyone loved her. And she went round collecting her gold coins off everybody, and she gave you a cuddle at the end. And if you didn't have any money, she'd cuddle you anyway. And she was a combination of, like, a Beatrix Potter character and, like, a female Benny Hill. She was a very strange woman, but everyone loved her. You know, she was a real character.
And what a legacy, though, for all the broadsheets to write about her.
Exactly.
Afterwards. Yeah. Go on, Tim.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I mean, your piece, Clayton, that you wrote was beautiful, and we haven't seen each other since long before that, so... It was really sad to hear that Pam had gone, and yeah, that missing that little person on the street. Go, give us a cuddle.
Yes.
Which you did, and I told you, Clay, the last time I saw her, she was the only person that was allowed by a lot of the publicans in Soho and proprietors of restaurants to beg inside. She was actually allowed to do that.
Yeah.
They allowed her to do that. And
isn't that interesting?
Yeah, because of her character, yeah. And she was charming in a way that was Dickensian in a way.
Yeah, and the thing about it was, I don't know if it was the same with you, Tim, but the moment I stepped into Soho, she would suddenly appear. It was like she had me GPX
there, yeah.
Fix on me or something, like a Kladar. She was like, hello. And it was like, how did you even know I was here?
She would always just pop up.
She had her regulars, didn't she, where she was always kind of guaranteed a few pennies.
We're going to go to the news in a moment. When we come out of the news, I'm going to play Soho Heroes, which is off Tim Arnold's album, The Soho Hobo. Just tell us a bit about this, Tim, before we hear it. I say I'll play it after the news, but this is based on... characters that have gone, that we've lost?
Basically, I mean, the album evolved out of a book and photographic project that I've been working on called Soho Heroes, and that is actually something that covers all the people that are alive in Soho, making it what it is today. That's due for completion at the end of this year. And then I decided to write a song for everybody that wasn't available to be interviewed for that book. So that's what this is. It's 400 years of characters from every walk of life that have contributed to the colour and world of Soho.
Well, we will hear those, we will hear about them, and we will play the track from the album After the Travel, which comes up after the news in just a moment with Anna. But can I just say, if any of this is resonating with you, if indeed if you're listening to us around the Soho area, or you walk around there, or you've lived there, or, yeah, you've worked around there, and any of the characters that we're chatting about you met, you knew, or even in your own community, because I still say Soho stands alone, but I suppose within every community there were characters, and I'm living in Marylebone now, and there certainly are. I think I'm one of them, to be honest. Can you become is becoming a character part of becoming middle-aged, do you think? When you're younger, you're eccentric, then when you become a character when you're middle-aged. Anyway, we'll talk about that, but you can call me on 020-722-42000. 3:30, time for the news with Anna. We are talking about Soho characters, with two Soho characters, actually. Clayton Littlewood, who's an author, who's got another book out. Is it about to come out?
Yes, it's already out. Goodbye to Soho, it's called.
Don't say that.
Yes.
No, because this afternoon we're celebrating Soho, but yeah, Clayton Littlewood, also author of Dirty White Boy.
Yeah.
Which became a play at the Trafalgar Studios. And also we're talking to Tim Arnold, who is an artist, musician, raconteur, and has an album out called The Soho Hobo, but another album about to come out, is that right?
No, the album that's about to come out is called The Soho Hobo.
Oh, right, OK.
Yeah.
So
we've released two singles from the album, but the album's coming out
and
later.
The one I'm playing now is not one of the singles, is it?
It is. This is available to download from iTunes.
Fantastic. So, have a listen to this, because any of you who have hung round Soho may identify some of the names here. This is track 9 called Soho Heroes.
Ronnie Scott, 1927 to 1996. Francis Bacon.
If you can talk about it, why paint it?
Muriel Belcher, 1908 to 1979. Jeffrey Barnard.
One way to stop a runaway horse is to bet on it.
William Blake, 1757 to 1827. Sarah Bernhardt.
It is by spending oneself that one becomes rich.
Sebastian Horsley, 1962 to 2010.
happy to cook.
Everything I've ever told you, including this, is a lie.
From classical to Dada, for jazz and rock and roll, where a legend from the Rada played a journalist with soul. So get that final helping, 'cause it's going, gone, bye-bye. Yes, everything must go, but Soho heroes never die.
Canon Letter, 1697 to 1768. Maurice
Huggett. Bastard, the stage manager. I'm still here.
Casanova, 1725 to 1798. Karl Marx.
Workers of the world, unite!
George Melly, 1926 to 2007. John Logie Baird, 1888 to 1946.
Still watching.
Paul Raymond, Lucian Freud, Keith Moon, Danny LaRue, and Laura Henderson.
They haven't made all the go at it.
Mozart, 1756 to 1791. Michael Rogers.
It's not about the money. It's about the art.
William Hazlitt, Lord Nelson, Sid Vicious, Derek Jarman.
I'm not afraid of death. I'm afraid of dying.
Sir Joshua Reynolds, 1723 to 1792. Shelley.
Fear not for the future. Weep not for the past.
Franz Liszt, John Snow, Verlaine, and Arthur Rambo. Vivian Van Damme, Sheila Van Damme, and when will Westminster Council give a damn?
From a revolutionary to a May Day riot cop, it's beautifully hairy, and that energy don't stop. So get your final helping, 'cause it's going, gone, bye-bye. Nothing lasts forever, but Soho heroes never die. Nothing lasts forever, but Soho heroes never
Johnson, 1709 to 1784. Peter Marc Roget, 1779 to 1869. Samuel Romilly, 1757 to 1818. Johann Strauss, 1825 to 1899. Frankie Vaughan, 1928 to 1999. Ian Moore, 1929 to 1994. He said,
"Heroes never die."
They say Soho is not what it used to be. It never was. Cheers.
Wonderful. That made me very emotional, actually. Just so many of those people, obviously I've never met, but and also never knew, hung around there, but all had something in common. Charisma, personality and character. And that's what we're talking about. That was Tim Arnold you heard on that track, and he produced it, and lots of voices. You were saying there are lots of well-known actors there. Also, people from RADA. How fantastic. Just round the corner.
No, I mean, I work with actors a lot, and on this album, probably more than any of the others, but this was the perfect song to involve lots of different actors because there's so many characters to take on.
And Ray Gelato there on saxophone, who is often on The Late Show and also on with Robert Elms quite a lot, so and a real Soho character as well.
Yeah, and he brings that 50s element of proper, you know, Soho jazz into that song.
Yes. Fabulous. We were talking about Sebastian Horsley, who I was the last person to ever interview Sebastian Horsley on the Saturday Breakfast Show with Simon Lederman, and he was... anyone listening, he was a very young, beautiful man, actually, who had a play about his life going on at the Soho Theatre, wasn't it?
Yeah, written by Tim Fountain.
Yes, and then died, I think, 2 days into the run.
The opening night.
Was it the opening night he died?
Yeah.
And a very famous house.
He lived on Mayor Street, the house in the first floor flat, the one, I think it's number 7, the one that says... "This is not a brothel, there are no prostitutes at this address."
That sign,
it keeps getting stolen, actually, that sign. Yeah, but one of the... it's so good that you name-checked him, because, you know, I've always felt he'll go down in history. You know, like Quentin Crisp is associated with 30s or 40s Soho.
Yes.
People will look back in years to come and think that this period, that Sebastian Horsley...
And Sebastian was an incredibly brave artist, and there aren't many of those from in the period that he was working in.
Yes.
So, no, he was he's absolutely has to be in there with Derek Jarman and Karl Marx and all the rest of them.
Yes, I got to know Sebastian. He was a friend of mine, and whenever I was in his presence, I always felt quite nervous, because, you know, he had a touch of... Well, to me... When I think of genius, his name comes to mind, and his wit and his intelligence and the way he looked at the world, just, it was kind of quite frightening to be in somebody's presence. You know, to me, it was like sitting next to Jesus. Do you know what I mean? I was so in awe of him.
I remember he came on the Saturday Breakfast Show, and it would have been about 7:30 in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, and he'd obviously he'd probably not been to bed, actually, knowing him, but he was in full makeup. And I remember saying to him, probably the last thing I said is, "You're so beautiful," because he was so beautiful, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And really stunning. And and that was just prior to his first night, I think it was. Do you think characters is what I hate people that try to invent character or manufacture character? Do you know what I mean? And just listening to the list of people there, I mean, you know, the common denominator is they're all artists. Based, most of them are artists
or innovators.
Maybe not Westminster Council, but the rest of them. And you know, why is it like Jean-Paul Sartre said that, you know, everyone gathers, cafe society, you know, the creatives all gather together? Is that pretentious? But do you think that's what's happened in Soho? Or happened in Soho?
I think everything. There's so many different elements to Soho that if there's a common denominator that's making all of it so exciting and colourful, and it is the tolerance. That's the thing, and I think that's what goes back historically a long time. It goes back to the Huguenots and you know, French revolutionaries taking refuge in Soho hundreds of years ago, and that carries on, which is why, you know, that is where we have our gay capital community. Everything that in most other parts of the country communities find difficult to accept is never difficult to accept in Soho. Everyone is welcome.
Mm.
And that is what creates freedom in any society.
Mm.
And that is why there's art and innovation.
Yes, and it is organic. And it's why, you know, just over the road is what I think is a very bad example of manufacturing creativity, which is Covent Garden, which to me is like this awful little toy town with all these horrible little signs saying, you know, street theatre and this, that and the other. And I just think it's, you know, to have those two side by side, one that just naturally, you know, as you've said today, evolves, and the other one which is manufactured.
Well, this is why I think when people talk about Shoreditch or Clerkenwell as the new Soho, is you can't transport these years and years of history and the people who've walked those streets, and, you know, the people like Francis Bacon and Quentin and Sebastian, you can't just transport that to another area. It's kind of in the air. And I mean, I know when I moved there, it brought out a creativity in me and a need to write. And like you've written songs about what you know and love, that's what I did with writing. And mixing with that, it seemed to have this influx of so many creative people in the area, and you really bounce off it.
And also there's the whole lie that we are a 24-hour society, which we know is not true in London, unless you want to go to Asda and shop in the early hours. But the one place that is open is Bar Italia, you know.
Yeah, that it closes for an hour.
Does it close for an hour?
It closes. They've got to clean up. But no, that's the hardest working coffee bar I've ever known of. It does make it feel 24 hours.
Yes, and the coffee machine that's always been there. And I remember Leonardo DiCaprio sitting there having coffee once, and no one pestered him. That's another thing. It was just
fantastic. It is another thing that's also important about Soho is that, especially these days, I mean, there's a lot of people, obviously, in the public eye that frequent the area. But they do frequent it because the people that live and work there don't bother them.
Yes.
And that's that, you know, people forget to mention that. Oh, why are people always at these places in Soho? It's like, because nobody gives them a hard time.
No.
You know, if they step out into Oxford Street, they get a hard time.
Yes.
If they step down into Leicester Square, they get a hard time. But inside that Golden Square Mile, you're protected. Actually, whether you're famous or not.
Yes.
As you, whether you're Soho Pam or whether you're, yes. you know,
yes.
I Leonardo DiCaprio.
Stephen Fry can walk down the middle of Old Compton Street and people, no one will really bother him. But I'm sure if he was to go to Covent Garden,
yes.
he'd be mobbed.
He would be mobbed. Yeah. I remember sitting outside Bar Italia with my dog and one of the doormen from Ronnie Scott's came over with a Bonio biscuit from his pocket. And I said, oh, that's amazing. And he went, no, we have them here for all the street dogs. Whenever they go by, we always have dog biscuits. And doesn't that say volumes, doesn't it,
yes,
about,
yeah.
as you say, the generosity and the care of a community. Just very quickly, Clayton, your latest book is called Goodbye Soho?
Yes, yes.
Meaning goodbye that you've left it or that you think we're losing it?
Well, I mean, I suppose it was a nod to Isherwood's Goodbye to Berlin. That's how it kind of started off. But the more I started writing, the more people started dying who I got to know in that book. And so I suppose it was my goodbye to that era, goodbye to the characters I've known and the Isherwood kind of nod. And so amalgamation of all those things. And I do agree with what Tim says. There is a constant there. But at the same time, it does go through, I think, shifts. And it's like a phoenix rising out of the ashes. And I do think it's going through some kind of shift at the moment. And maybe it'll become bigger and more fabulous. I don't know. But something seems to be changing a bit.
I'd love another track from the album. What should we play? There is one called Covent Garden.
Yeah, I know. Well, we won't play that one, Joe. We don't want to upset you.
Stage Door Johnny. Is that, what was that? Oh, no.
Stage Door Johnny's, that's an instrumental number. I don't think that was.
Oh, track two,
I think
Dan
Neon
says.
Glow, actually, at this point.
Or The King of Soho. That's what Dan says.
I think you should play Neon Glow.
Neon
after
Glow,
after listening to what Clayton was saying, is that sort of talking about what Soho is and what it's becoming. I think Neon Glow, which is the track I've done with Gary Kemp.
Oh, great. Okay, I've not heard this one.
I think that would be poignant.
This is Tim Arnold and Gary Kemp.
Take a right down Bateman, I'm straightening my tie. Lights crawling out the window of the Lorelei. A rickshaw bell is ringing, do you know what those things cost? It's giving me a headache, but without it I'd be lost. I'm turning a corner as I spot another chain. This place don't stop changing, but it's always been the same. So scary neon glow and wave hello to strangers as you go. The streets are paved with gold, but copper's all you know. So they raise the parking rate, then they really clamp your soul. But the thought police are beat when we're singing in the street. We're singing in the street. We're singing in the
ship. Bar Italia to Gino's, Pulcinella Sunset Strip. Let's hear it for the ladies, give them all a serenade. Queen Bergonzi, Lady Lewis, Mrs. Earnshaw, Madam Wade. You've never seen such heroes in a square mile stretch, so don't miss the chance to dance in this Toulouse-Lautrec sketch. Just kneel below that friendly neon glow and wave hello to strangers that you know. The streets are paved with gold, the copper's all you know. So they raise the parking rate, then they really clamp your
pennies begged for, as often as they're spent.
You'll see the gap gets smaller between a scoundrel and a gent.
Where every day's the worst day of at least one person's life.
Where every day's the best day of at least one person's life.
I kneel below my favourite neon girl and wave hello to our friends we used to know. They're singing in the street. They're singing in the street. They're singing.
Clayton and I are almost mush. That was the Soho Hobo, and Gary Kemp featuring on that as well. Absolutely beautiful and so evocative. And emails coming in. This is from Detroit, who says, it just said, someone listening in Detroit online, Brian, who's a fan of this radio station, says, oh, I love this song. Well done. And this is, I know, fantastic. It's off the album, which you can download, but not yet. Soho Hobo is what you need to search eventually. When will it be out, Tim?
I think it will certainly be out this year. I hope it will be out in the summer, but we may be looking at an autumn release. We've got a couple of more singles that we're going to release over the next 3 or 4 months. So
it's made you very nostalgic, Clayton.
Oh my God,
hasn't
that
it?
Was just so beautiful. We were both sitting here nearly crying.
Well, because it's very, the whole place is, for me, very significant. And also that neon, and for me it was the neon, either of the windmill, but for me it was Bar Italia, actually, which is, I don't know, for everyone it'll have a different meaning, won't it?
I was just imagining you stood under a red light, Joe.
Yes, or me under a red light. Can I just say, what a fantastic text this is. This is from Ben in Barnes, who says, OK, rewind 31 years to the day. I was standing outside Rupert's Records in Soho, window shopping with my birthday money in my pocket. I was a cycle courier and was still at work, but was taking a quick 10-minute break. It was getting dark when a sweet female voice behind me said, you looking for a good time? I was an innocent 18-year-old, and I replied, no, just something by the Stones. That's Ben in Barnes. Fantastic.
There's one thing I wanted to say, Joe, about that actually Clayton mentioned earlier as well. When I wrote that song, I think it was the first verse I wrote in the Lorelei.
Oh, yeah, which is just closed.
Closed now,
which just closed, a couple of days.
That was the
ago,
last place I went to have a meal with Sebastian, actually.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, just underneath that
special,
mermaid
very
mural.
Special place.
Yeah, it was.
Have you found this cathartic, the two of you? I have.
Yes, can we do this more often?
Yes, I don't have to sit here and weep.
I'm really enjoying this.
We could have a 1-hour therapy session here, couldn't we?
Yes, I don't. I hope everyone listening, go and walk through Soho as soon as you can. It costs you nothing, Ashley, and it's the best theatre in the world. It's the best free theatre in the world. Clayton, your books, Dirty White Boy and Goodbye
Soho,
which are out now. People can get them on Amazon.
Yes.
Or any good bookshop, Soho Books.
eBay, probably, for £10.
Thank you both so much for coming in. Soho Hobo, Tim Arnold.
Thank you very much.
And Clayton
Travis.
Littlewood, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Joe.
I am absolutely... wrung out is probably the best way of putting it, but also I'm determined to go and stroll through there after this show and live through that last track, because so many landmarks and moments, and very evocative. Thank you. We've got Tunde coming in the next hour. It is Joe Box Jury, and of course he is from the Lighthouse family.